with each unsteady step you take.
Hello and welcome along to the New Music Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Adam Tinian. I'm joined here by the magnificent Ben from Westwood Ho.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Ben.
No worries.
That is how I wrote your name on every single Seaside Sessions video as well. It's never Ben with your surname. It was always Ben from Westwood Ho.
I think that's the idea. I mean, like, we're obviously based over in Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get the whole gang down here.
True, yeah.
So, but it's nice to sort of... plug the band here and there around the country and get us out there as much as possible, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I did mention your name to another musician that came into a Seaside Sessions video, and he said, oh, like The Place. Like, I'd never heard of The Place before.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a big story there, but we'll talk about all that sort of stuff
absolutely.
And the rest of the band shortly. And plenty of other stories as well. We've got five tracks to get through today, and a fair few stories, I think, attached to a few of them. So should be interesting.
But
we're going to jump straight into the first song, as we always do. And then after that, we're going to come back and talk about some more stuff. So the first track we're going to talk about today, first track of five, is Hear Them Sigh. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that, please, Ben.
So Hear Them Sigh, it's probably not the one that I've got most to say about. Really, the way that one was written, really, that one's all about sort of the hook, if you get what I mean. And that really sort of started off songwriting wise with a little sort of riff that I'd put together, and we sort of built around that, which is the way we usually work, especially the ones where I write it, because I write on a ukulele, a tenor ukulele. Mm-hmm. And so it's got this cool little riff that we just sort of built the song around, really, and just layered it up. But yeah, there's not a massive amount to say about
this
one.
So you said before we started recording, this is the one that you open with usually, because it's a bit more punchy, more kind of getting the audience ready for what they're about to become part of.
Yeah, often we open or close with it.
Okay.
It's got a nice full chorus, lots of harmonies, that sort of thing. And I've actually started playing an electric ukulele on this one, which... there was a cry of Judas last time we played a folk night. But yeah, so I've got...
Absolutely, how could you?
Exactly, I've got my Telecaster ukulele for this one, usually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, well, wonderful. Well, let's give that a listen, and then we're going to come back, because we've got four more tracks after this one, and we've got loads to talk about. So this is Hear Them Sigh.
If the sun goes down, I'll start a fire. When the moon comes up, you know we'll tire. Night out there so overrated. Two doors down they start a fight. Ooh, I wish you never went away. I wish you never went away. Cause I still remember that. Ooh, I wish you never went away. I wish you never went away. With an open eye, the time will pass, but it's never wasted. Two streets down, you can hear them sigh. Ooh, I wish you never went away. I wish you never went away. Cause I still remember that. Ooh, I wish you never went away. I wish you never went away.
I wish you never went away.
went away. Never, I wish you never went away.
Okay, so that was Hear Them Sigh. So, Ben from Westwood Ho. So, before we get into the next track, let's just talk about the band for a second. So, did you mention you wrote that last song?
Yeah.
So, there's 4 out of the 5 that you wrote today, right?
Yeah, usually we've got sort of a 75-25 split on our set between myself and Jay Hollis, who's a guitarist and also a singer in the band. There's currently about 7 of us in the band. I say about. We sort of got a collective mentality.
Okay.
Everyone's got a lot to do with their lives and their careers and all that sort of stuff. And usually if someone offers us a gig, I just say yes. Yeah. And then we figure out what
who's available.
Yeah, figure out who's
That's
available.
A great philosophy.
Exactly. So, on the recording, we're a 7-piece.
Okay.
Got Kate on flute, got Andrew on violin, Simon on mandolin or guitar. Oh, and
fantastic.
Yeah, Gareth on bass. And Chris on drums. So, it's cool because if you see us, you can see us 1 week and then you can see us a couple of weeks later and there'll be 4 of us rather than 5 and it'll be violin instead of flute or we'll have a cajon instead of drums. So
that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
I like the idea that you could watch you 2 weeks in a row and have a completely different setup.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds great.
It sometimes slightly affects what songs we decide to do in the set, but... it sort of keeps us on our toes, and it's a nice way of doing things.
All right, well, let's get back in. We'll have more chat around everything later, but let's get into Sizewell Lament /4 Lines.
Okay.
So, am I saying it right? How do you normally slash
I think
it?
I think I'd just say Sizewell Lament 4 Lines.
Sizewell Lament 4 Lines, okay.
I think the way that came about, and I can't lie, I was listening a lot to Fleet Foxes.
Okay.
And one of the things that I really love about their music is the sort of journeys that they take you on. I'm a film guy, yeah. And it sort of mirrors the sort of films that I like. I like to be surprised. I like to be taken in directions that I'm not expecting.
Okay.
That's why I like people like David Lynch, that sort of thing, surrealist film, interesting avant-garde narrative film. Not to say that this song is avant-garde, but just the idea that, particularly with this song, you take it in one direction for a while and then you go into something quite different. There's a real change. But rather than having that track one into track two, it's sort of a journey that I'd like the listener to take in one go, in one chunk. So that's basically the idea behind
that. It's a nice kind of concept, I think. I don't know, you kind of get... Obviously, so this is attached to Seaside Sessions, as listeners will be aware. As you're aware, you've come and recorded your own session, and I've had such an eclectic mix of musicians that have come in to Seaside Sessions, and some, but by their own admission, will play not particularly complicated chords or whatever, and not write particularly complicated lyrics. It's just kind of catchy and fun to write to perform at gigs or whatever. It's quite nice to hear about a story and about actually going on a journey within one song. It's very thoughtful. Is that something you've always done? Is that the way you write your music? Is it something that you've always kind of thought of?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my biggest influences with stuff like that. I'd say that when I was younger, I listened to a lot of early Biffy Clyro.
Okay.
And like the sort of darts left and right that they take are absolutely crazy. Moving on to Sufjan Stevens, which is getting a bit more folky, so a bit more similar to what we do. And very similarly, you'll be taken on a linear sort of journey. There might not be a verse, there might not be a chorus. I wouldn't go and say that I'm taking people on the sort of journey that those artists do. I wouldn't, presuppose that I would do that. But, that it's what interests me. So that's the sort of thing that I want to at least try and aspire to, to do something different. I think it also feeds into the fact that I'm not a technician in terms of music. I'm not a trained musician in any way.
Okay.
Often we'll be writing a song. Hear Them Sigh is a good example of that, where I'm going to sort of paraphrase now because I don't even understand what the rest of the band was saying. But there was a point where they were like, Ben, oh god, this one's like, it's in 3 six, or not in slot four. And I'm like, I don't know what it's in. I just sort of, I made some noises and then we did it. I literally have no idea what I've done there, but brilliant. Apparently there's something slightly odd about it.
Okay.
And I think that oftentimes there's something slightly odd about the stuff that I write because I don't really have that sort of that classical sort of training, you know?
Yeah, sure. I do always find it interesting though when people say that about the training, you know, for art, because surely art is about finding your own. Mm-hmm. There's no right or wrong way of doing things.
Yeah.
I suppose there are core structures.
But, yeah.
You know, you've got to do what makes you happy, right? You've got to do what you feel is the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I wouldn't go as far as to say that I wrote a song in a certain way by accident. That's how I wanted it to sound.
Yeah.
I just didn't know the words for that.
All right, fantastic. Okay, should we give this one a listen then? So this is Sizewell Lament. It's four lines.
It's probably worth me actually telling you what this song's about.
Oh, maybe. Because, yeah.
No.
That is the idea of the podcast, to be honest. Apologies.
Only reason being is this one's sort of, this one's quite personal because I'm from Suffolk originally.
Okay.
And I grew up a couple of miles from Sizewell Power Station. Nuclear power station,
right?
And it's a very rural part of the country. Not different around here. You could quite isolated, you know. And there's this thing. Basically, when they build the power station, the size will be overnight. You get hundreds of thousands of people come in to work, contractors away from their families, and it just completely changes the entire area. Not only that, we've got, like, we're talking about an area of outstanding natural beauty. Yeah, that's where they film Spring Watch and Autumn Watch. Okay. And all that amazing sort of place, amazing countryside. And you've got this nuclear power station in the middle of it. Right. And it's just, it's terrible. And they're going to build Sizewell C, basically. Okay. They're going to build the third power station, the third nuclear power station. So this, the first part, at least, Sizewell Lament, is about that. There's some samples at the beginning that sort of reflect sort of the way local people often feel about it, about sort of turning a blind eye to it in a way, because, you know, you can't blame them. There's nothing that they can do about it.
Of course.
But, yeah, it's just something I felt sort of really strongly about.
Yeah. It's a shame that sort of happens, isn't it? Because fairly close to where we are here, you've got Dungeness down the road. Mm-hmm. And same sort of thing. And mm-hmm. I'd actually never been there before, but I thought I'd go along, and because all the Seaside Sessions videos like to have a nice, interesting shot to begin with of mm-hmm. some kind of coastline or something. So I went down to get some shots, and the place is just unbelievably beautiful, very stark and very, you know, like there's like old boats on the beach and stuff like that. But then just over the background there's a huge bloody power station.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's in the middle of a national park, a wildlife reserve, which same for mm-hmm. Sizewell, I guess. And why do they do this?
I mean, it's a tough thing, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, I'm not naive enough to think that we have to have power from somewhere.
Yeah, of course,
they need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately for the area that I live in, or as far as I'm concerned, unfortunately, that's where they have to put it.
Yeah.
But there's things that they do. There's remember when they built Sizewell B, they also built a leisure centre for Leyston, which is a town nearby. There's always something that they try and do to sort of sweeten the deal.
Don't they call that a shit sandwich?
I think they do. Yeah. I think they do. A nuclear shit sandwich.
Maybe that's the name of the song.
I think, yeah.
Not as poetic.
Let's change it.
All right, so should we go into this
one?
Yeah,
do it.
List. This is Sizewell Lament, four lines.
We should be able to get the message across that nuclear power is safe.
The first explosion blew out the top part of a reactor containment building at the Fukushima No. 1 nuclear power plant.
For almost 15 years, the Suffolk town of Leyston has lived in the shadow of its nuclear neighbour.
Up the Wild West town, and everybody's making money and everybody's fairly happy, except for the anti-nuclear brigade.
That went from to a wilderness to a town nearly in a few weeks.
I've got nothing against it. I know a lot of people have, but we've got to have electricity.
Nobody likes the idea of nuclear power, but at the same time, what are the alternatives?
This is the biggest public health hazard the world's ever known, and we've done it.
Nuclear power, by any definition, is safe.
Huge incidence of genetic disease. There are 2,600 genetic diseases.
By any definition, is safe.
Cystic fibrosis, diabetes, haemophilia, you name
we
it.
We ensure through a whole variety of ways that the risks to the people, to the general public, to you and I, to our families.
Children getting cancer at the age of 6 instead of 70.
To the people, to the general public, to you and I, to our families, is incredibly low.
Thank you. weather's cleared, heat moth flight sorrow. A signature is all but scrawn. Sea borrows sand from cliffs so hollow. Not theft of rock that laid in rest. Boots indelibly struck on land. Your beacon's not from its burrow, not shanty towns for those far from home. Compensate with built so shallow, beyond the price that's yet unpaid. Boots indelibly struck on land. Your beacon's not welcome here.
I'm cool.
Okay, so we're back in with Haku Shaku Sama.
Indeed.
I just rehearsed that before I pressed record.
do you know what? While you're getting your head around that title, I'm just going to point out that I did notice you've got a lot of Football Manager.
Oh, I do. Absolutely. Yeah, well, where we're sitting right now is also the podcasting station for the 12th Man podcast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you a big football fan?
Well, are you aware of when Football Manager was Championship Manager?
I am.
Do
yeah.
you go back that far?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you may notice the bags under my eyes. Okay, that is because I recently found a way of downloading Championship Manager 1997-98. Oh my God. That is the one.
That's amazing.
That's the one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Viktor Anopko, centre back. Oh you know, God. Getting him in from
who
Russia.
Who are the kind of wonder kids from that sort
wonder
of era?
Wonder kid. I mean, do you know what? Like, I noticed that Jamie Carragher was on there, and I thought it's probably not the best person to be bringing up right now. What's going on? But I thought, well, he's obviously I know he turned out to be good. I signed him, and then I signed him, and then it turned out he was a midfielder left. So he clearly was so young at the time that he was just a name that they just put in there. Didn't know where but yeah, this is why I've been up at night until sort of, you know.
Well, that's amazing.
Into the early hours.
Yeah, that I kind of daren't. The ones we've got here, which are just props basically for videos.
Yeah.
So we're going back to Football Manager 05. Uh-huh. I think I started more like 07. Uh-huh. And I would just
I'm
be playing it incessantly. Sherman Cardenas, he was always the one. Come from Colombia.
Yeah,
you buy him at 16, he turned into a wonder kid every time.
There's something about finding a player that's completely unheard of.
Yeah.
That probably in real life never came to anything.
And this is it. So obviously going back to 07, he was a 16-year-old. So fast forward 10 years, he's doing nothing now.
Yeah.
Playing in some third division somewhere.
Brilliant.
Unbelievable. I want to get onto the next track, but also I just want to talk about the band for a second as well.
Yep.
So I kind of feel, I don't know, this might be a brief story. Is the band called Westward Ho just because of the place? Or is there a funny story? Did you go there and have a mad night one night, a mad folk festival?
Do you know what? This sort of, I was listening to a couple of your previous podcasts before I came up to sort of get an idea of what we were going to be doing, what I got myself in for. And you actually said something in one of the ones where you said, all band names are crap. Something along those lines.
I did say that.
Yeah, and do you know what?
I think stupid, but
do you know what? I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, and basically, what we bounced around ideas for so long, and we sort of came to the conclusion that it has to be something that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
Anything that sort of has an actual meaning, I find sort of you know you get that cheese factor.
And
so we started looking at place names, basically, and places that meant something to more than one person in the band. I think, you know, me, Chris and Simon certainly all have a sort of connection to the West Country, whether being from there or holidaying there all our lives or having family that live there now. And it's a lovely, like, part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to look at sort of place names around there. The I think what really sold Westward Ho to us is that it's the only place name in the country that has an exclamation mark.
Absolutely.
So on the actual sign as you drive into the town, there's an exclamation mark on it. I mean, we looked at other ones, but you know, it's like even with place names, every sort of name that we came up with seemed to have some sort of connotation. It's had some sort of feeling.
Yeah.
And Westward Ho had a bit of an adventure-y, folky sort of thing. I mean, if you compare it to some of the other ones we could have had, I mean, we could have had Blackmore Gate. Do you know what I mean? And that does sound like
sounds
a metal
folky.
Band.
I think it sounds
like metal band,
yeah,
Blackmore
right,
Gate.
Actually.
I thought it seemed a bit hardcore for us. There was something sort of a little bit playful about Westward Ho that we liked. So... You know, not massively deep story or anything, but there was a process. Some of us have a few have links to it. The people of Westward Ho have been quite interested in us, even though we're over in Hertfordshire. Yeah.
Have you been there? Have you played there at all?
We haven't played there. We got asked once, but to get the seven of us down to the 4.5-5 hour drive or whatever to get to Westward Ho.
Yeah,
but
it's
definitely it's something we've got to do at some point. Absolutely.
Talking of stupid band names, and I don't know if I should bring this up now because it's going to be in a future episode, but I'm just going to say it now and repeat it again when they come on. So there's a band, I always find this the funniest story of band names. They're called the Ovines.
Okay.
Lovely bunch of lads.
Yeah.
So when they kind of, I thought a quick Google just to confirm, Ovines is of the sheep family, right? So I thought, oh, I wonder if that's kind of some sort of social commentary. You know, we're all just sheep. I met the guy, so the lead singer, he goes, "Nah, mate, I'm just from New Zealand. I love sheep."
Amazing.
So there you go. Amazing. Stupid band names. There might be more to that. So do tune into the episode in a couple of weeks' time with those guys. But let's talk about this song anyway. So Haki Shaku Sama, please explain.
Well, I've always sort of been interested in sort of cultures that we don't maybe know as much about as we could, like it's ones that you have to sort out and find yourself. Links very much to what I'm doing at the moment in my sort of academic life.
Okay.
Where I'm sort of interested in Eastern stories. Okay, so in this case, Japanese. And basically the lyrics and the themes and stuff of the song were all based around Japanese urban myths and legends that I looked into.
Okay.
And it seems that the majority of them seem to be based around some sort of horrific monster taking children away.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I don't think that's massively rare, because you're probably talking about morality tales to make kids do the right thing,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Even sort of European folk stories, you're talking about, you know,
Tom
Thumb sucked his thumb, so they cut off his thumb and that sort of
thing. The Scandinavian Christmas stories are quite horrific. Yeah. There's all different Santas that steal all sorts of things and people.
Uh-huh. But I mean, I'm really interested in Eastern sort of society and traditions and stuff like that. What I'm doing at the moment is I'm hopefully moving on to doing a film PhD looking at women in Chinese film. So sort of looking at the idea of, you know, we've got a lot of sort of feminist film theory in the West that we use to sort of discuss the way Hollywood film deals with women. It's something really relevant at the moment.
Absolutely.
But my argument is that how can we apply that to a film scene that has completely different culture, completely different history? So I've always sort of been interested in investigating sort of history and culture and stuff in sort of faraway lands. I guess that's where the inspiration for this song came from.
Okay. And is there a direct meaning of the words? As in the title?
It's actually the name of a spirit, a woman that...
Oh, that's...
Eight-foot woman that apparently... Right. And there's all sorts of things linked to it, and there's different variations about if she's coming, if you wear like a red cape, then she does one thing to you. If you wear a black cape, then she does something not so horrific to you, and stuff like that. And it's just a really sort of elaborate sort of story that was interesting. And then it was just about sort of writing music that matched the feeling and the atmosphere of that story, really.
I see.
So, yeah.
Wonderful. All right, well, let's give this a listen. This is Haki Shaku Sama.
Questions. to race. Just listen to her questions.
So, you know, every time I come back in, I always say, all right then. I think I should put like a kind of all of them together at one point.
Yeah.
Make one of them weird.
You make them like a vine. Vines are dead, right?
Vines are dead, yeah.
They are dead. But, damn it. I have lost half an hour or so watching vines.
I love them.
In fact, I'm going to confess.
There's a guy. I've forgotten his... Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I lost half an hour of my time today.
Did
watching
you?
Watching classic vines.
Classic vines. I love that when they make the compilations.
Yeah,
there's the guy
who
does the sort of magic tricks, as he calls them, which is obviously just Premiere Pro or whatever editing tricks, where he's like, oh, there's a bit of money on the paper, and then he pushes it there, and then there's real money.
Or he
jumps through a thing, and then he's I don't know. Anyway, he's fantastic. I love that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next track we're going to talk about, Full Moon, we're going to talk about.
Full
so this
moon.
Was Full Moon.
Fool.
Fool.
As in, you're a fool.
Oh, okay, I like it. Okay, wonderful. I totally wrote that down wrong. So this is a song, the only one not written by yourself.
Yeah,
from
on this EP.
Written by
yep.
The guitarist,
yes, Jay.
So tell me about this song.
Full Moon, which the only real way to communicate with people that it's called Full Moon and not Full Moon is to say it in a Scottish accent, we find.
Right, okay.
So you have to say Full Moon like that, and then people tend to get the idea. But yeah, it's a J song.
Scottish.
Yeah. Yeah,
was that your Scottish?
I thought it means Scottish,
Welsh, Irish.
Yeah. A bit Italian, if you ask me. Yeah. A full moon. sorry.
Basically, any standard bad accent that you can muster seems to put it across in a better way than an English one, I guess.
Right, fair enough.
But yeah, Now, Jay is a great songwriter, musician in his own right. Does a lot of solo stuff as well. You can look him up, Jay Hollis, and writes these amazing sort of 10-minute like historical journeys through different sort of stories that he's researched and stuff like that. Now, ironically, we were sort of talking last night that the last two songs that he's done for us, for the band, have basically been our most upbeat sort of poppy sort of songs, which isn't something you'd really maybe associate with him if you'd seen his solo stuff. But okay. I guess that sort of shows his versatility as a songwriter.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's a great song. It's one that he always dedicates to his children. And it's just sort of a bit of a happy-go-lucky sort of song. It's a nice violin part. It's sort of makes it feel a little bit Waterboys-y, you know, which is nice. Although I didn't write that song, that's the sort of stuff I was brought up on.
Right, okay.
So to have that sort of influence in the band is really nice. But yeah, that's Fool Moon.
Fool Moon. Yeah. And just before we jump into this, just talking about songwriting for a moment.
Yeah.
Like, this is something I ask everybody, because I do find it a fascinating process, because I just honestly wouldn't know where to start with it. And so do you write songs together, or do you just, like, you yourself writing at home, do you kind of know, well, I know we've got the violin here, so I can put this in it, or do you just focus on some lyrics and then take it to everybody else and they just make it a rounded thing? Or do you ever get together with the other songwriter in the group and maybe kind of collaborate, or is that too much pressure to sit in a room and write something together?
Okay, well, I mean, basically, when in the first couple of bands that I was in when I was younger, I was always just the singer. So that was always a really collaborative sort of process, where the guitarist would maybe come up with put some chords together, we'd sit together and we'd play around with it. But when that was when I lived back in Suffolk. When I moved to Hertfordshire, a few years passed. I hadn't done anything musically. It's really difficult sometimes to, when you move to a new area, to A, find musicians, but B, even more so to find ones that are want to do the same sort of thing that you want to do.
Yeah, of course.
And that sort of inspired me to just think, in the end, look, I'm just going to pick up the uke. I'm going to learn to play something just so I can get out to a couple of open mics. Sort of led me on to getting the tenor ukulele, the 8-string ukulele, that sort of thing. And the way it usually works in our band is I'll basically sort of write the basics of a song. And then I'll take it to the next practice, and it will be the chords and the lyrics, and then everyone will build their own thing around it. I think there have been times where I've basically written a song, and then afterwards I'll sort of say, "Oh guys, thank you so much for making my song into what it is now." Do you know what I mean? And although I wouldn't call it collaborative in the sense of sitting around it in the inception of the song and sort of saying, I think it should go this way, I think it should go that way, everyone brings their own sort of little bit of personality to it. It's not a case of sort of walking in saying, right, I've imagined that you're going to do this part on here, or I've imagined you're going to do that part on there. Everyone sort of has the freedom to add their own sort of personality to it.
I see.
And often the song will sort of change a little bit here and there based on what other people are doing, or a few little suggestions or whatever. But yeah, so that's basically how we do it.
I like it. Okay. Yeah. All right, so back to the song then for a moment. So this is Fool Moon. I guess we've already spoken, so we should just let the audience hear the goods.
Fool Moon.
Fool Moon.
Yeah.
With each unsteady step you take, I'll be there to guide your way. Just look up, you'll see me looking down. Now you've got both feet on the ground. And though the night is very long, and the road goes on and on, please don't rush toward your journey's end. There's a big adventure round the bend. I will find I can't imagine how you'll look in 20 years from now, but your star will still shine bright for me. And if you ever find me gone,
right then. So back with the final song before we get into the dreaded 5 minute song challenge. It's been the cause of many sleepless nights on this podcast, so I've learned. So the final song we're going to talk about is Franny, but just before we get into the song, so obviously from you and I speaking since from our session and off camera, off mic, you're obviously a big film fan.
Yep.
Film fan in terms of just loving film or wanting to make films or wanting to be in films? What's your kind of angle of loving that genre?
I mean, I love film. What I'm doing at the moment is I was a film teacher at secondary school for 7 years.
Okay.
I've now gone back to uni doing a master's, hoping to do a PhD and basically hoping to be a film academic, really. Okay. Rather than making
rather
film.
Than filmmaker.
Yeah, I didn't. I can't handle that sort of pressure.
I suppose I was hoping to ask a clever question.
Yeah,
you know,
go on.
Headlining Glastonbury or starring in or making an Oscar-winning film.
You see, I mean, like there is a part of me that obviously I think all academics that part of them would like to make a film. You know, that's a tough one because I don't know. I don't know. It's such a completely different experience.
Of course.
Because, like, when you make a film, it's probably more sort of comparable to making an album. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then it becomes like an object that gets out there and people sort of connect with it that way. The Oscar thing's sort of interesting. I mean, like, the sort of films that I'm into, like, you know, I'm very much of the sort of art house, pretentious, avant-garde sort of angle. So until this year, I probably thought that I wouldn't love a film that won an Oscar.
Right.
I did absolutely love The Shape of Water.
Yeah,
but,
it was wicked, wasn't it?
Oh,
really,
so
really good.
But what a good year.
Yeah,
what
I
a
know.
Good year in general.
I know, so many great films.
I can't imagine that there will ever be a year where I will like as many films as there were this year.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
Shape of Water, obviously brilliant. Three Billboards is brilliant. Dunkirk's a great film. Get Out, brilliant film. Phantom Thread, amazing film. And just to top it all off, Sufjan Stevens, who I mentioned earlier, played at the Oscars because he was nominated for his song for Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, what a year. What
brilliant.
A year.
What a year for you.
Yeah, what a year for
being
me.
A fan.
It's like they made the Oscars for me this
That's
year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it when they do that.
There's been a bit of a backlash against Shape of Water.
Has there?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I mean, you see a lot of people on Twitter saying, I can't believe the fish sex film won.
I mean, do you know what? I actually did a bit of Googling after I watched it because I felt that it was a little odd as well. But then I think maybe that's kind of social conditioning, and it wasn't really that scene in particular. It was more the sort of the opening scene where she's sort of in the bathtub, and actually Del Toro was the director, and he said, you know, he wants to kind of put it out that it's a totally normal thing for everybody, you know, sexual scenes or whatever. It's why should there be, why would it be okay? How many films have you seen where there's a fella, you know, on his own, you know, doing what he does?
Yeah.
But suddenly there's a woman doing that and it feels very strange, mm-hmm. and people are weirded out by it.
But also,
like, I think that's kind of a society thing, you know.
But also, it's a fable, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's not supposed to be taken literally.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's about acceptance.
Yeah, of course.
And like, when is that more relevant than now? Do you know what I mean?
A film
about accepting someone that's different, not painting them as an animal, like treating them as a human being.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And I think like the world needs a film like that right now.
Yeah.
And for people to sort of come out and not get that message, I think is you know, maybe that's why we are where we are.
Maybe you're right there. All right, so let's move on to the final track that we're talking about today. So this is Franny. So tell me about this one.
I mean, this one's maybe a little bit tough for me to talk about, and I'm happy to. This is the most personal song I've ever written.
Okay.
I'll give you a lighter sort of lead in, I guess. I was listening to the podcast S-Town. Have you listened to S-Town?
I haven't, no.
Great podcast. It's obviously not as good as this one.
Oh,
but it's it's basically the story of this guy, and he I don't really want to give it away because I think people should listen to it.
Okay.
But it starts off seeming like it's a bit of a murder mystery. It's a documentary podcast.
Oh, right. Okay, got you.
Starts off as a bit of a murder mystery thing in the Deep South. And then it sort of takes some left and right turns that you're not expecting. And, you know, it's a bit of a theme for me, what I like, like the unexpected. And it really sort of... it ends up as a character study of this guy, okay? And I thought about writing a song about him, and, you know, it ends up being quite a sad story. And then as I sort of sat down to do it, I sort of realized I didn't know this guy, and do I have something as personal as that in my own life? And quite a few years ago now, my friend Dan actually took his own life, one of my best friends, and it's something that's always going to be really rough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Gets easier to talk about, easier to accept, but it's never going to be okay.
Sure.
And he was such an interesting and amazing person that I'm just so happy to have... it's this weird thing. He came around my house once and brought his dinner around on a plate. And he left the plate at my house. And after, you know, after this happened, years later, I still had this plate, and there was something about it that I knew it was his, and I'd kept it.
Okay.
And the plate got broken, and I was devastated. It seems ridiculous. It's a dinner plate. But now, having written this song, I feel like there's something out there that expresses the way that I felt about him, about the way that I felt about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now, having recorded the EP and knowing that it's going to be on Spotify and iTunes and out there on podcasts and stuff, it's just, I feel like there's something there that's going to always be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I've done to, you know, done what little I can to sort of pay some sort of tribute to him and how I felt at the time. So,
got you.
Yeah, okay. it means a lot to me, the song does. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I don't think I need to say anything else, to be honest with you. I think that's really nice. So let's give this one a listen. This is Franny, and then when we come back, we're going to jump into the 5-minute song challenge.
Daniel was a quiet man, though plenty surrounded and adored him. Daniel went to Thailand, 30 miles, no shoes or gear adorned him. He returned without a plan, no mother to greet him or to warn him. That the town he knew was falling down, what remained was not enough to save him. And if you ask me, I will comfort you if you let me through your I will come to you. When we can build back from the start. She came across a tired man. Though love came between the days she abhorred him. None left were those to lend a hand. Not one was man enough to implore him that if you ask me, I will comfort you. If you let me through your heart, if you ask me, I will come to you. We can build back from the start. Daniel left a troubled man, survived only by the words I'll say to you, that if you had asked me, I would have comforted you. If you let me through your heart, if you had asked me, I would have come to you. Could have built back from the start.
All right then, ladies and gentlemen, here we go with another 5-minute song challenge with the magnificent Ben from Westward Ho. You ready for this, Ben?
Yeah, I think so.
How many sleepless nights has this caused you? I've heard people say that. I think they're saying it in jest, surely.
It's certainly the most intimidating part of the podcast.
Is it really?
But it's, you know, I'm always up for a challenge.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right then, mate. Well, let me pass it over to you.
Cool.
Take it away.
Slipping around, just stay here.
very, very nice.
We had a little slip in the middle there, but I can handle that. It's a work in progress.
I mean, it's written in 5 minutes, so if I wasn't holding your mic, I'd definitely give you a round of applause. Thank you so much, Ben. So,
yeah, you know what, I might use that.
Yeah, you should.
quite like that. I think
very nice. A very apt as well, because we did have Frozen Sea.
That's all. Very recently, down here in Margate. Well, yeah, coming through Margate. That's what came to mind. That Absolutely. YouTube, that video I saw on Facebook of the Frozen Sea.
Right, so that's the end of the podcast then. So cool. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ben.
No, thank you for having me.
EP's out when?
Okay, so the EP will be out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, this podcast is out on the 21st.
Yes, so. It should be out. It's going to be out early April.
Okay,
it will
cool.
be on Spotify. It will be on iTunes. All of those Perfect. Things. Got a load of gigs that we're doing. Where we're going to be selling a limited run of physical copies, but Brilliant. Just keep an eye on the Facebook page, and we'll keep you updated.
This is embedded in the seasidesessions.tv website. Mm-hmm. When it comes out, I'll update the listing with the links as well, like that.
Fantastic.
So you can stream it and buy it from
Wicked.
Right from within the website there. So that's it.
Lovely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming.
No,
appreciate
thank you.
Your time. Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today on this little journey through I can't remember it. Hakisaku setup.
We played hacky sack. We talked about football. Hacky shaku sama.
I rehearsed that so many times before doing it live, and I tried to do it off the cuff. It didn't work. Okay, let's get out of here, listeners. Please give us them ratings on the iTunes store. We really appreciate your time with that. That is how we grow. So go and tell your friends and leave us some ratings, and we'll catch you next week.
If the sun goes down, I'll start a fire. When the moon comes up, you know we'll tire. Night owls, they're so overrated. Two doors down, they start a fight.